Welcome to a podcast on the Summer Institute in Public Diplomacy of the Center on Public Diplomacy at the University of Southern California. I am Eitan Gilboa, Professor of International Communication at Bar-Ilan University in Israel. In 2005, I initiated and co-founded the Summer Institute and has been teaching ever since. With us today, three participants in the 2023 Institute from the United States, the Netherlands, and Ukraine. Thanks for joining us for this podcast. Please present yourself, your name and position, United States first.
So my name is Shalom Constantino. I'm a public affairs specialist at the Office for Global Communication Strategy at the U.S. Department of State.
Netherlands.
Hi, my name is Francine Bilhoff, and I am deputy head of public diplomacy at the Dutch Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Ukraine.
My name is Victoria Lalina-Boyka. I am deputy director of the Department for Public Diplomacy and Communications of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Ukraine, actually responsible for public diplomacy and digital diplomacy of Ukrainian Foreign Ministry.
How did you learn about the Institute? Shalom?
So the Department of State did send around a notice calling for applicants within the Department of State. So first we went through a rigorous process within the Department of State to select participants for this year. The call was for mid-career officers, both foreign service officers and civil service officers.
France Jean?
So I heard about the Summer Institute through colleagues. My current boss, she did the course a few years ago, but also we're setting up regional training conferences. And a colleague of mine in Cairo was actually the first one to bring it up with me. And so it seemed interesting to me to join as well.
Victoria?
So I learned about the course through my colleagues as well. A few of them took part the course last year and strongly recommended to join this summer school.
Which were the most useful ideas and tools you have acquired in the Institute, Fanjin?
I was very interested by the forward-thinking approach. So talking about AI and games, those were things that we don't really talk about when just working at our daily jobs. So that has been great. It's been great to also just take a little time to reflect upon our daily practice.
Shalom?
I think that some of the talk around crisis management was really interesting to me, as well as storytelling. I think that we as practitioners in the field, we have the tools we are used to work with. So sitting in a classroom where we hear from people that talk about theory, but also practice that is being used nowadays is kind of very eye-opening for me. So there was a lot of talk about AI. We created a chatbot that was very impressive in one hour and a half. So these are a couple of the things that I really liked. Yeah.
Victoria, which were the most useful ideas and tools you have acquired in the Institute?
For me, it was very useful to hear about some new approaches, basic theoretical knowledges, because we somehow use them without even knowing that these algorithms existed. And, I just can echo what Shalom said about crisis management. Since decades, we've learned how to deal with propaganda and disinformation. So these new approaches in crisis management and processes of pre-banking, debunking, etc. are very useful for us.
So Ukraine has been in war with Russia
since 2014.
How is it to conduct public diplomacy in during war?
It's a very complex and difficult question, and it can take hours to discuss it. But unfortunately, Ukraine has this unique practical experience about public diplomacy and communications in wartime, and we proved once again how public diplomacy, effective, proactive public diplomacy is efficient, and how we can win the informational battlefield with new approaches in public diplomacy and communication, with creative responses.
Fangjin, what has been the most important and most difficult challenge to Netherlands' public diplomacy in recent years?
We've got interior crises within our country regarding climate, for example, and it's hard to talk about climate when you've got your own domestic challenges. Also, I have to say that resources and our constant struggle within the MFA, so we would like to have way more capacity for our public diplomacy outreach.
Shalom, can you tell us a little bit more about your daily work?
We have a whole bureau that is dedicated to information, right? So it could be digital, it could be press, it could be social media content, video. And we also have an evaluation team that tracks statistics and messaging. And my job is to put all of the great effort and tactics of my colleagues and put it together into one strategy that would follow one theme, one narrative, the Secretary of State and his travel around the world. We're also very much focused on internal communication to the workforce. The workforce of the Department of State spans, from every time zone, every continent, in over 200 spots all over the world. So we need to make sure that we communicate to our own employees, in a very efficient way, and make sure that we get the information out there, no matter what time zone you're at.
How the interacting with other PD professionals has influenced your thinking about public diplomacy, Victoria?
It's an interesting question. Actually, as for a diplomat, networking is very important always.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a synonym of our profession.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very useful to hear my colleagues speaking and describing their communication priorities, the challenges they could face in the nearest future. So I think that for everyone, for every participant of this course, the networking process and sharing our views on our future public diplomacy is very important.
Fangjin?
For me, it's been great to talk with people from the State Department about their priorities. It's been great to talk to Victoria on their perspectives. Obviously a very different situation than we are in. I very much enjoyed hearing Liz Allen speak earlier today, most notably regarding the necessity of PD working, like the how PD can help national security purposes. So that's something that I'm interested in a lot, and I hope that we can pivot within our own MFA towards more of a security-based approach, I suppose.
Shalom, how the interacting with other PD professionals has influenced your thinking about PD?
It's been amazing spending time with you both and the rest
Thank
of
you.
The 20 members of the cohort, just because I think that the knowledge that I acquired in the past 16 years in the Department of State is really, it really comes from the people I've met, the places I've been, and the experiences that I've experienced. Now, hearing other people's experience here during these 2 weeks and really focusing on public diplomacy and really taking a moment to really just really focus on how we do things, why we do things, how do we prioritize and strategize? I think that hearing from the Netherlands, from the Ukraine, from Qatar, from also from the Department of State, we have members of the Department of State that serve in, 10 different embassies and consulates with 10 different realities mm-hmm. and different mm-hmm. audiences.
Agreed.
I think that even though we work in the same organization, our reality is different. Mm-hmm. The day-to-day work is very different. Mm-hmm. So I think that I really... it really nurtured my professional career, and I believe that I will take a lot of this.
So the Department of State is so big that it takes for you to come to this institute to meet and hear your colleagues.
Definitely. We're nearing 100,000 employees all over the world.
Holy cow.
We are a world leader, and as such, we need to have many professionals to help us promote our policy priorities around the world. And it takes a lot of effort. It's not a one woman, one man job.
Yeah. Francine, has any of the sessions surprised you?
That's a great question. I'd say one of the, there were two sessions on games. And I don't know a lot about gaming. And it was so, the content was surprising, and it was also fun to hear from basically most other colleagues who also weren't that much into gaming. I did enjoy the fact that everyone likes to play Wordle. So the word guessing game, which I play in three languages each morning. So I would say that. So the forward-looking theory, which could probably benefit us in the long run, because that technology is coming for us. Let's face it.
Yeah. Victoria, has any of the sessions surprised you?
I will echo my dear friend from the Netherlands, because actually forward-looking creative public diplomacy, such as use of the AI, gaming, also surprised me very much. That's the future, and we have to start thinking about it and using the tools.
Okay, Shalom.
Yes.
What surprised you?
What surprised me? I think that...
Well, nothing surprised you.
No, many things surprised me. Many of the people that were in the room are very, very, they're very focused on digital media that inform of web and social media. But when it comes to AI, we are so, I don't want to say late in the game, but we're behind already. So one of the sessions that we were toying around with AI, we were all asked to create a 3D object model, right? And we all looked at each other and said, like, we don't have the right, with the right technology for that, or we won't have the right technology when we go back to our offices. And we were just, out of the theory in the classroom, we went into practice and actually created 3D models with our phones. And it was easy. And it was, in our fingertips. I'm sorry. And I think that what it taught me, beyond the fact of like, here, you learn something new, here's a new tool, it taught me that there are so many applications for that technology that is easy and I didn't know about. So many applications in public diplomacy, and it surprised me how from an hour and a half I came up with 4 ideas to take with me to my back to my office.
Like what?
For example, one of the tools the United States is using is art diplomacy, right? And we have a program that is called Arts in Embassies. Arts and Embassies is a collection of art that is being curated from all over the United States, from museums and so on, and artists. And I think that, if we could give the public, more than just the visitors who come to the embassy, if we can do a 3D tour of Arts and Embassy program to the public in countries where, let's say, it's very difficult to reach the embassy or access the embassy, if we can give them a glimpse of the embassy and part of our arts, we will be able to advance more of, the recognition of who we are, what we do, and bring more people in a more accessible way.
Francine, we always talk about the changes technology brings into public diplomacy. How would you see the introduction of artificial intelligence changing public diplomacy in the very near future?
That is a great question, which is difficult to answer. I think we have a tendency of equating AI to ChatGPT at the moment. And I can see us using ChatGPT for helping us make copy, for example. I know we actually did use AI for a speech of our Minister of Foreign Affairs for the conference that we organized in February of this year on the responsible use of military AI, ReAIM. And it was kind of a gimmick at the time, but AI is something that our ministry does work on, but mostly from a policy level and less from a PD standpoint. I think we will be able to use it for generating copy to a certain extent, but other than that, it's hard for me to see how the future is going to unfold.
Okay, Victoria. What did you gain from the group project?
It's a very interesting question because we have a very special group project, and it was for me very interesting and very challenging to see how would I act in Eswatini, for example, because the country is completely different from Ukraine, completely different to how to use the tools to reach out the audience, etc. So, you know, to refocus from the situation in my country, which, you know, is very difficult and challenging to conduct public diplomacy, but to refocus and to think out of box. What would I do if I were there, for example? Very useful experience.
We asked all the participants to submit proposals for group projects. We received almost 20 proposals. We had to select only five. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is for people who presented projects not to participate in the group that was discussing the project. The idea is for the participants to do role play. If you were to participate in or do a project that has nothing to do with you, how would you then do it? How would you then plan it? And so Shalom, what did you gain from the group projects?
To be honest, this is something that I really, really like. I like looking into new audiences, new realities. This is something that I do as part of my job. I look into different countries and different audiences and different channels of communications. And I, you know, I find, you know, in every country, it's a new case of how we're going to communicate something. The discussion that we've had amongst us in my group and
what the group
full
what was
disclosure,
the project?
I'm with Victoria, the same group.
Eswatini project.
you know, in the Eswatini project, it was, I enjoyed the practice of, you know, putting together something with people who don't usually work in the same methods that I use. It was also
great discussions, always,
you know,
in our group.
Victoria had such amazing, amazing ideas, and she wanted to go all in, you know, and like use every channel of communications. And I had to remind Victoria, we're not in Ukraine, we're in Eswatini. So think about
the way public diplomacy of Ukraine works now. So all in.
Yeah. And that's the way that public diplomacy in Ukraine works. Yeah. It's all in. And so working with Victoria and with Ahmed from, you know, from Qatar, and with Ilona, who served last in Bolivia. And, you know, me, I work for Washington, but I sit actually in Luxembourg. This was a great, the interactive way we worked together and interacted with each other, I'm sorry. And also, it was nice to go to another member of the team in the room and interviewed an expert. We interviewed the person who submitted the proposal, who works in Eswatini, and we prepared a list of 20 questions, and we grilled her about the culture of Eswatini. So I think we benefited also from learning a lot about Eswatini and things that I didn't know before and I wasn't exposed to before.
Fanchine, which group project you participated in?
I am the leader of the project on the El Alto mural in Bolivia, and it's a project that was set up by the U.S. Embassy. And for me, it's been interesting also to look at a PD project from a U.S. perspective, because it's different from how our ministry would organize something. So I would also like to echo my colleagues here on the table in saying that it's wonderful to learn from different contexts. It's wonderful to see how everyone, I mean, it's our job, right? It's our core business to think about how to put your message out there in complicated, complex contexts. And it's wonderful to learn more about that. And it's been interesting to learn more about the U.S. perspective in that sense.
The Center on Public Diplomacy is located in Los Angeles at the University of Southern California. Have you been able to enjoy Los Angeles, Shalom?
First of all, enjoying the university campus life here in USC. I think that was very eye-opening for me. I think there's a lot of culture here and it's a very nice, calming environment, which is very nice. I also got to visit the Academy Museum for Motion Pictures, which is a pretty new one, right, in LA.
Yes. So
that was my first opportunity to go there, and I really enjoyed it. And of course, I mean, you can't say LA without food, food, food. So tacos all around. I had a lot of tacos. Yes.
Fanchine?
So many tacos. it's been wonderful. It's great to be in Los Angeles. The weather is wonderful. I am a big fan of concerts. So I like to listen to a lot of music. I go to lots of somewhat alternative concerts usually. And comedy. So I have been lucky to go and see a comedy show. I went to see two concerts already, and I've been having a great time with my fellow classmates, and I went swimming with Victoria the other day as well, which was quick, but it was nice. Exactly.
Don't forget about
it. I will not forget. Victoria and I had a great time on Saturday. We, for the first time for both of us, I would like to stress this, We took one of those hop on, hop off tours.
Yeah.
And we saw a lot of Los Angeles on Saturday together, which was a lot of fun.
And I think that we saw almost all the iconic places, sites. Like must see in Los Angeles, because you know, like Los Angeles is huge, and for me it's like I've been in Los Angeles for the first time in California, so. Yes, food is great. Weather is great. The company is the best we can ever imagine. And yeah, I'm a fan of theater. So together with our colleagues, we enjoyed Shakespeare play. We visited Getty Gallery, Griffith Observatory. So we had like a wonderful time. As all my colleague and me, we had like to work after the classes. Yeah. But nevertheless, we had time to explore Los Angeles.
A combination of work and fun was for me to visit a PD project of the Netherlands that was here on Friday. The Dutch Ballet was in town, and I didn't really know about that, but I got tickets at the last minute. And if I'd known that it was so good, I would have invited more of my classmates to come, because there was a fabulous ballet a recital on Friday of Frida by the National Ballet.
Okay, which ideas and tools you would be excited to implement in your current job, Shalom?
Oh, wow. I think that one of the storytelling presentations we've had yesterday, we went through a series of storytelling ways, and one of them was with a 360 camera and using, you know, that 360 environment. I'm going to definitely talk to my colleagues and look into ways to implement that. The focus of the presentation was virtual reality and augmented reality. And I think that, you know, it's something that's been used, but very little. Maybe we as a government can lean into it, into that. As part of our climate messaging, perhaps, as part of other messaging we're using around the world. I think that, that's something that I would like to look into. Yes.
Victoria?
I will definitely think about using new tools of AI. We did start to use it. For example, we had a number of VR exhibitions all over the world, and using the VR headset, our guests could see the results of Russia's war on Ukraine, the to see the consequences of Russian aggression, to see the liberated cities, how do they look like after Russia, etc. So it's like we started to use it, but now I have some ideas how to develop it. Of course, we also we use AI when it's for example, when we translate and voice over the speeches of our president Zelensky in more than 100 languages, just the major speeches to be distributed and promoted all over the world. I will echo also Shalom's words on storytelling. Now in Ukraine, we know how important like efficient storytelling is. And we always say, if you don't tell your own story, someone will do it. Catchy, efficient, creative storytelling is very important in nowadays.
Fanchin, which ideas and tools you would be excited to implement in your current job?
For me, it's mostly the strategic part that's been something that I think I will implement when I come back. So when I go back, so I was thinking about the pivot of PD towards the national security perspective, which I stated before as well. So more like a how PD should be implemented, what the future of PD should be within our ministry, very much the strategic standpoint. But other than that, learning about the tools and being aware of their implementation and like the ways that we could potentially use these has really been great. And I hope that, I'll definitely talk to our teams about that as well.
So finally, how would you describe your experience in the Institute to colleagues who might be interested in attending future institutes? Shalom?
Well, when I return back to the Department of State, I think my first email will be to the Foreign Service Institute that is running the process of the selection process for us. Email them and tell them that I would happily be the ambassador for the next year cohort, and you know, tell the story and tell a little bit more about the Summer Institute, because I think that beyond the advertisement, there needs to be a little bit more of real talk about what is going on here and what you get out of it. I think that I'm definitely going to help recruit. I don't think that it's going to be that difficult, to be honest. But I do believe that, you know, hearing the experiences of others before me would have helped me a little bit more with setting my expectations for the Summer Institute. It was a lot of great information, we had a lot of conversations about tools that we either are not aware of, or we are aware of and think that it's not our place yet because we are not tech savvy enough, we don't have the resources, and we were proven wrong. And I must say,
we're getting older, Shalom.
I know.
Very positively. I would definitely recommend this course to my colleagues. I'm also setting up our own PD conferences and trainings.
Don't steal too many of your ideas.
Just but I have to say, I am very happy that we're on track, and like the ideas are very similar. So what we've already set up is in basically the same vein. But no, definitely. I think that people from our HQ and from our larger missions can definitely benefit from attending the Summer Institute, and I will happily recommend it to them.
Victoria.
Of course, I will recommend my colleagues to visit this course. And we're now starting our work on another one course, PD and Communication at Wartime. And of course, your course helped me to rethink a bit this course for our colleagues, our partners from other countries who could face major crises and like a war, for example. And of course, my wish, and hopefully it will be like this, that the next year the participants from Ukraine will talk about post-war reality, our win, and new challenges to face.
This ends our special podcast on the Summer Institute in Public Diplomacy of the Center on Public Diplomacy at the University of Southern California. So Victoria, Francine, and Shalom, thank you for participating in this podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.